I watched the Olympics Saturday and Sunday, and I watched again last night, and it's repeated. It's on several different channels, and because of the time change, a lot of it is not happening live, but it's happening, and I'm seeing it for the first time. Look, I love watching this. I love the Winter Olympics. I love the Summer Olympics, and the U.S. is leading in the medal count so far. Just extraordinary athletes doing extraordinary things. But, you know, do you want to comment on the opening ceremony? Do you want to comment on the setup that looked a little bit like the Last Supper and they were using drag queens? Now, you know, I don't freak out over drag queens the way a lot of people freak out over drag queens. But what were the Olympic people thinking? I mean, this was an insult to Christians. And I don't think this was necessary. They didn't have to go this far with it. And from Louisiana, Republican from Louisiana, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson wrote on Twitter, "Last night's mockery of the Last Supper was shocking and insulting to Christian people around the world who watched the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games." He went on to say that this is part of an ongoing war on our faith and traditional values, knows no bounds today. Well, look, I agree that I disagree that Christianity is under attack the way they say it's under attack. And the whole thing about, you know, the war against Christmas, that was fabricated. It started with Bill O'Reilly on the Fox News channel. And when there are decisions made because of the separation of church and state, and people think that's an attack on Christianity, it's not really an attack on Christianity. But a lot of Christians today feel like they're being persecuted, and they feel like victims. And, you know, I understand the hypocrisy of you can do Christian jokes. And, you know, that's one of the things that I love about Christians in general and Catholics. You know, you can make fun. You can have fun. You can tell jokes about Christians and Catholics. And they think, many of them think it's funny. You can't make jokes about Muslims. I understand that. And that's hypocritical. But, you know, I don't think this is part of any war on Christianity, but I think that this was just a bad decision that sort of used the setup of the Last Supper that had, well, it was kind of like Da Vinci's depiction of the Last Supper in his painting, and they used drag queens. And, you know, I don't have a problem with drag queens being part of it, but I don't think that was the right setting for that. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. Ian's off. Coleman is with me, and Coleman and I will take care of your text messages, and we'll get to a few of those here in just a moment. But let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
How are you today?
Thank you, Scoot. I'm feeling better.
Good, good. That's always good. Did you have a comment to make, Chuck?
Yeah, just dealing with Trump saying about you vote for me and you won't have to worry about voting for another 4 years.
No, he said if you vote for me in another 4 years, you won't have to worry about voting anymore.
Yeah.
That's basically what he was saying. So what did he mean by
that? Well, all the Republicans come on TV saying, oh, he was just joking. He was just joking. That's all bullshit. Yes. Trump was not joking. He means every word of it. You put him in office, he's going to declare his private property. USA is going to be his private property, and he's going to go to everybody who even talks, who offends him.
Well, there are, you know, there's a lot of talk about that, Chuck. You know, there's a lot of talk about Project 2025 and how it's going to change the government if Trump is elected. And that, along with the talk about Trump being an authoritarian-type president surrounding his candidacy and his campaign, this does not bode well for Donald Trump when he says things like, if you vote for me and I win, if I'm elected, you don't have to worry about voting again. Was that a joke? And if it was a joke, I don't understand. Was that the punchline? If it's a joke, could anybody explain the joke to me? And if he meant it, what did he mean? What does he mean by that? You're not going to have to vote again. Because for as long as I can remember, every 4 years we've had a presidential election. So why would you not have to vote again if he's elected president? And there are some things in Project 2025 that if he's elected are going to dramatically change the government. So and then Trump trying to change the outcome of the 2020 election. It's known now through information, through testimony, that Trump knew he lost, but he was still trying to manipulate people into changing things so he would have won even though he lost. And he really threw his vice president, Mike Pence, under the bus, and it was Mike Pence's job to declare Joe Biden the victor. And then there was that little riot that took place at the Capitol on January the 6th. So with all of those things considered, when Trump says something like, if you vote for me and I win, you're not going to have to worry about voting again. What does that mean? The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Irwin. Irwin, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was outraged with the opening ceremony that appeared to look as the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And now they have doubled down with an apology. You know, they've kind of reversed things. But I did do some research, and I mean, you got to give them, if you give them artistic privilege interpretation, it appears to be a connection with Dionysus, who's also connected to Comus, one of our carnival parades of the past. They still have their carnival ball. It also lends itself to a word called bicanal, which there's actually a buffet in Las Vegas that's called that. So, you know, I studied as a college student philosophy. I went through Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, et cetera, but we were never taught Dionysus and their little feast, their table with their festive activities. So probably some artistic interpretation was done here, but it was very close to being the Last Supper. Now they have doubled down with an apology. And my biggest issue right now, though, is the Europeans on the internet are mocking the U.S. because of our lack of education concerning the Greek gods and mythology. And I'll only say to them, especially to France, if it wasn't for us, you guys would be speaking German right now. I'll give it to you.
Well, you know, you're right about, yeah, I mean, you're right about that. The French owe us in a lot of ways. I did not actually see it. I've seen the pictures. I've read the stories. So I didn't actually see it. So I don't have an emotional reaction to seeing it. But it seems like this was flawed from the very beginning, and that it just it didn't need to be depicted in this way. I don't think we should get too upset with it. It's not going to bring about the end of the world or anything like that. But it seems like it was in very poor taste. And again, I don't have an actual emotional reaction to it since I didn't see it in real time. But there are other ways that they could have done what they did without depicting the Last Supper. So I will say that was very, very inappropriate. Let's go to Rick, who's in Metairie. Hey, Rick, welcome to Manic Monday.
Hey, thanks, Scoot. First time, long time here. Got to agree with that last
call. Wait, you're a first-time caller? You've listened for a long time, first-time caller?
Big listener, first-time caller.
All right, appreciate it. Look, Rick, we got to give you some treatment here, man. We got to give you the treatment. Okay, Rick, we honor you as a first-time caller. So what has you calling in today?
You know, I think the outrage is a little ridiculous. I don't think it was really mocking the Last Supper whatsoever. I think it was paying homage to the Greek heritage of the Olympics. You know, and also, too, talking about the French, I mean, this is a nation, what was it, a decade or so ago with the Charlie Hebdo incident. So if they did want to take shots at a religion, I think they would know how to do it. So I think a lot of this outrage is just coming from people who are looking for things to be upset with, and they're looking for the first opportunity to kind of throw their hands up and yell foul. So,
Rick, I agree with that.
I think this outrage is a little manufactured.
I generally agree with that. I think it was in poor taste. I think there's a limit to the outrage that should result from this. I mean, I don't. Again, this is not going to bring about the end of the world. This is not going to cause people to to leave Christianity. This is not going to cause fewer people to become Christians. It's not going to have that kind of impact. So as outraged as some people are, and I understand that, also understand, what is the real impact here? I mean, what is this going to do? It was in poor taste. It didn't have to be done. But what's the effect going to be? I mean, I don't know that there's going to be any true, you know, negative effect as a result of this other than the criticism. All right, let's go to Coleman and let's get to a couple of your text messages.
All right, this first text says, even if it was based on the Last Supper, isn't everyone welcome at Jesus' table?
Yeah, I like that idea. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Jesus would have welcomed drag queens. I'm sure there's a possibility that one of the apostles might have been a drag queen. If what happened with Jesus happened today, it just so happened that it happened thousands of years ago. But if it happened today, I'm sure that included in that dinner might have been trans people or drag queens or people from the LGBTQ community.
This text says, I wonder what the athletes from the Islamic countries thought about the drag queen ceremony.
I don't know. I certainly can't speak for them. There are going to be Muslim athletes that are going to be very offended if you make fun of Allah. And I'm not saying this of all Muslims, but the more radical Muslims do not have a very good sense of humor when it comes to humor about their religion and Allah. Christians and Catholics in particular have a better sense of humor when it comes to their religious beliefs.
I'll leave you with this one. This one actually came 30 minutes before your show aired. It says, well, your glorious drag queens that you go out your way to protect have screwed up in France. They have mocked Jesus' Last Supper in the opening ceremony at the Olympic Games in France, and it is sick. Going forward, there was a guy that was dressed in black who was wearing fake genitals and hanging out around children. Good job in protecting that trash, Scoot. Very disrespectful, to say the least.
Well, look, there are different kind of drag queens. In the same way, there are different kind of heterosexuals. And if drag queens are doing something inappropriate, that's different from the drag queens who aren't doing anything inappropriate. And I will tell you, if you're a straight person and you're not a drag queen, there are a hell of a lot of heterosexuals who are obscene, they're disgusting, and they're going after kids, and in many cases, they're getting kids. It's heterosexuals, straight people. So there are bad people in every group. And I'm only defensive of the drag queens that are harmless. And I think drag queens in general are harmless, and they've been around forever. There've been drag people on TV. There've been people who, men on TV, really throughout the 50s and 60s and 70s that have dressed in drag. And nobody thought anything of it. And I don't know why during this particular election cycle. Well, I know why. It's because of the ridiculous culture wars. And people like Jeff Landry, our governor, and others, right-wing radicals, have made people afraid of drag queens, and I don't think drag queens are the problem. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1998, Matchbox 20 began their first headlining tour at the UNO Lakefront Arena here in New Orleans. This was the first time they were a headliner, and they did it right here in New Orleans at UNO. Some of you may even remember being at that concert in 1998. That was Matchbox 20's first headlining tour, began at the Lakefront Arena here in New Orleans. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back, Manic Monday, on WWL.